Welcome to the Texans Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Lane, and this is an emergency broadcast going out to everyone that supports the Deep Steel Blue and the team inside NRG Stadium. I'm Mark Lane. You can follow me on Twitter at TheRealMarkLane, and I'm joined by my co-host, John Crumpler. Where can folks find you, John?
You guys can follow me at Texans Doc. Mark, let's get after this one. We have been waiting for a long, long time.
Yes, 14 months, and it's over. Deshaun Watson goes to the Cleveland Browns in a shock move for everybody because, remember, John, the Browns were out of it, and they were out of contention, and forget the Browns. And it's coming down to the Falcons and the Saints, and the Falcons are rolling out the red carpet and figuring out what to do with Matt Ryan. They kick the can down the road on his guaranteed money from today to Tuesday, and we'll give Deshaun all weekend to think about going to the Browns on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I thought that Atlanta was as good as a done deal. I mean, when you ask Matt Ryan to take the weekend and decide where to be traded, and there was so much noise around it, but you know, they say there's no place like home, but Mark, it sounds like there's nothing quite like $230 million guaranteed.
Yeah, that'll definitely make you feel like home anywhere, because rich or poor, it's good to have money.
You're not wrong. And I joked all the past year, I've joked as soon as Watson gets traded, he'll be in such a leverage position that he can force a renegotiation of his contract. But I always followed that up with the caveat, the PR would be so bad on that. And lo and behold, he doesn't even have to hold out because he can force the new contract while he's under contract with the Texans.
Right. Yeah. And what does Houston have to show in return but draft picks? What do you think of this haul? They get basically the Browns' first-round picks from 2022 through 24 and a 2023 third-round pick and a 2024 fourth-round pick. Houston did have to send their 2024 fifth-round pick to the Browns, but that was the only pick that they gave up. What did you think of the haul?
I'm a little underwhelmed. I think Nick Caserio preached for the past year that the starting price would be three first-round picks in addition to two other pieces, either high draft picks or players, and that's what they coveted. And instead, we got back not a third this year in what's considered a very valuable and deep draft. That third and fourth-round pick come next year when Deshaun is going to play an entire season with a talented Cleveland Browns cast. I'm disappointed, Mark. I can't be all that disappointed. Clearly, once Watson leaked to the media that he would only waive his no-trade clause for Cleveland and that he was intending to sign a contract that I don't imagine any other team in the league would have felt comfortable signing, Nick didn't have a lot of leverage there. So his hands were tied. The fact that he got, I've called it the meat and potatoes of the Watson trade, you know, like the core of the meal, has been getting those three first-round picks, and he got them. And for that, I'm grateful, and I think Nick did fine. But after this whole saga where we're just exhausted at this point, I do feel a little disappointed. What about yourself?
It does feel like if you went to Chipotle and you forgot the avocado on your burrito bowl. That's what this feels like. You got everything else. You got the steak and you got the pico and you got all the other toppings you wanted, but you forgot to get the avocado. That's kind of what this feels like, because what had been set in the expectation in the media and when people prognosticated was, yeah, you're going to get the three first-round picks, but then you might get players. You might get someone that you could build around, or you just take their top 100 picks. And so you basically got the Laramie Tunsil deal in reverse for the next two drafts. That's kind of what this had been billed as. And instead, you get, you know, the three first-round picks, which I do think Nick Caserio deserves credit for staying true to his convictions on that and not budging. I think he deserves credit for that. But in terms of the finer aspects of the deal, it doesn't seem like he came away with them. And that's where I think people like yourself are disappointed, is because where are the players? Where's the player who could help right now? I mean, where's a starter that fills out a roster need right now? It didn't happen. Where's a top 100 pick? Oh, it's in next year's draft. Okay. But when you look at this organization and the way Nick has run it, he does kind of use those future draft picks to take guys that he wants right now. Like, for example, they use their 2023 sixth round pick on Blake Cashman, who they sent to the New York Jets. I mean, so maybe you figure he'll take that 2023 third round pick and use it as a package to target someone he wants in this year's draft. That's the only way I can figure that picking up that particular pick works. Otherwise, it's just, I don't know why you collect top 100 picks into a later draft where, you know, you don't know exactly who's going to come out and what you're expecting. Because when you look at this draft, I think that Houston has a really good opportunity and this was even before the Watson deal, they have a good opportunity to get Kyle Hamilton and then get a decent pass rusher to complement Jonathan Greenard. That's what you figure they could get in this particular draft. And with the Watson trade, you would hope that they would get two number one picks and then a second or a third and just continue to be players in the top 100 in day one, day two of the draft. Because once you go fourth round through the end of the draft, I mean, those guys, they're kind of definitely like your sixth round picks and below are battling with the undrafted free agents for roster spots. And really your fourth through fifth round guys, you're fortunate if you can develop any of them into being a starter. It's really in picks, days one through two, that you develop the core of your team. And I don't know. But here's something else that I wonder. Nick Caserio said they were open for business at number 3 overall. Is he going to be open for business at number 13 overall now? Is he going to use that as kind of the trade down and try to find value and load up on other top 100 picks for this year's draft?
I mean, you spoke for a while there, so I want to address one of those things.
Yes, I actually did the Nick Caserio paragraph salad. So,
I want to say, I think that the reason that Nick didn't get more top 100 picks in this draft is, I'm sure he wanted them, but I don't think he was in a position to ask for them with what Watson did to the team and the very uncomfortable position that he put them in. And I saw people on Twitter and everyone says Nick has the leverage. Nick can make Deshaun sit out another year. That was never an option for this team. That was not going to happen. I think there was a big mandate from ownership, a mandate as an organization that they wanted to move forward. And they took about 80 cents on the dollar for Watson to get off of him right now, which I don't agree with, but I'm also not running the team. So I can't comment on that because it really is a deep draft. It would have been a great year if we could have gotten Cleveland's second or even Cleveland's third. That's another starter with how this draft looks. And we need more starters. And that's what's so disappointing. You're right, because we got the bulk of the trade that we needed, which was the three firsts. But the excitement behind the Watson trade wasn't about getting back equivalent value. The excitement on trading Deshaun Watson was that you could also assemble pieces that accelerate the rebuild. He was always worth three first-round picks, but that's going to take 3 years to see the fruition of that, to see what we might get from the trade backs, who the players are going to be. This idea that, okay, this immediate influx of talent and capital could come from day two picks or from players to kind of make this process go a little faster, when coming out of today, we're still going to be one of the five worst rosters in the National Football League. And that was probably the case regardless, but this trade pretty much confirms that our ability to make a big vertical transition next year, it does not seem likely based on the talent. To answer your question about number 13, I think they'll absolutely be in business. It's unfortunate because the Carolina pick, or well, Carolina, they were off the table, but we all thought he was going to Atlanta. Atlanta had the 8th pick. That would have been the perfect range for a team to come up and go get Malik Willis. Malik Willis is a quarterback out of Liberty. He's just oozing with potential, guys, if you're not familiar with him. And he's going to need a year to develop, but he has the best trades by far. And that's when you could have seen a team like Pittsburgh asked to go 20-8. Washington, if they wanted him to sit behind Carson Wentz for a year, could have gone 11-8. And I don't know who teams are moving up for at 13. I think when I look at who Houston might take there, Tyler Linderbaum is the best center in the draft. He has short arms, but I don't think anyone really cares. He's going to be a great offensive lineman in this league. Jordan Davis is a freak defensive tackle who is going to be a difference maker and honestly would be fantastic for Lovie's 4-3. If you want to talk about he needs help in the trenches, getting Kyle Hamilton at 3 and then Jordan Davis at 13, you could fix both sides. And the third player I'd look at is Garrett Wilson. He's a wide receiver. Those are the three, my three favorite guys at the position, but or at that spot, but I'm not sure anyone's coming up to trade for them. So it's a little awkward because Houston's going to get a great player just like they could have at 8. But I think their option to reap additional capital is probably weakened a little bit.
Yeah. And that's that 13th spot, like you said, it's difficult because it's not even a quarterback heavy draft. If it were, maybe you could entice someone, but really it's when I look at Luke Easterling's mock draft from the Draft Wire, you know, just as a baseline, you've got Malik Willis going number 6 overall to the Carolina Panthers, and then Kenny Pickett from Pitt goes number 18 overall to the New Orleans Saints. And so Houston's just stuck right there in the middle, and because you don't have a bevy of quarterback talent like you did in last year's draft, you can't really entice anyone to make any kind of move to go up and get their guy. And you'd really have to hope that, you know, Willis falls past Carolina, which I don't think is going to be the case, past Washington, which I don't think is going to be the case, and just hang out in that top 10-ish range in order to really entice anybody. Because I think the rest of the draft in terms of the trench players on both sides of the ball and the perimeter players on both sides of the ball, there's not anybody that anyone's going to just absolutely bypass somebody to jump and go up and get them. So Houston may be locked in at that 13th spot, and on the principle of trading back, well, yeah, I'm sure they could do it, but what kind of value could you get? Who would you miss out on? You're a talent. You've got a paucity of talent on the roster anyway. You may as well just use number 13 on somebody at that point. We've got it posted at Texans Wire. Taking a look at Luke Easterling's mock draft, he had Houston taking Kyle Hamilton number 3 overall, so that shows that he's in the know, that he gets it. But he had Houston at number 13 taking Drake London from USC. I don't know that I would want a receiver, let's say, at 13. I might be interested in a running back, or I would really prefer I'd really prefer to use 13 on defense and just continue to stockpile talent on the defense. I don't know that I would take a receiver at 13.
You can justify. I mean, Drake London and Garrett Wilson are really good prospects. If they're serious about giving Davis Mills his best possible chance to succeed, I think you can justify using that pick on a wide receiver. But I agree, the value is probably not there. I would want to address the trenches, especially Kyle Hamilton is the best player in the draft, but there's a reason there's resistance there, and it's because safety is a bit of a luxury pick. If you want to address the trenches, doing so at 13 would make a ton of sense. Like I said, Jordan Davis, I don't think Trayvon Walker would fall that far, but on the offensive side, a Tyler Linderbaum, a Zion Johnson, you could find a difference maker on the offensive line or a difference maker for Lovie Smith's defense at that pick. And you said what kind of value, but I mean, I'll throw it out there. Would you move down like two spots to Philadelphia's 15th if they offer a fourth round pick?
I don't know. I'd have to see who's on the board at that particular juncture. Because otherwise, not really. Because I don't want to miss out on someone. Because that's what I feel like at 13, because of where the roster is, that I've got FOMO, you know?
Yeah, with how Nick is done in the draft, you probably want him to take his guy that he really likes at 13. So yeah, for a fourth rounder, I'm probably not doing it either. And maybe, I mean, every year, these receivers, as we get close to the draft, build up a lot of hype. And there's four really good ones in this draft. Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave. Maybe someone does want to come up for them. But the good news is now we can work the board and hopefully find multiple starters.
Exactly. And that's why whenever I did actually was in the middle of writing this up and then the Watson stuff happened. But Pro Football Focus, I believe Michael Renner, he was going through and talking about everybody's roster needs after the first wave of free agency. And he said for the Texans, they need to draft help everywhere. And I was thinking, no, they don't. They don't need draft help for tackles, for example. So yes. We don't need to be talking about Evan Neal and Ikem Ekwonu, okay? We don't, because Laremy Tunsil's coming back. We don't need to talk about quarterback because of the one-term, you know, commitment to Davis Mills. So there's two positions they don't need help with. Okay? So where else do they need help? And I was going to mention that they needed help along the defensive line still. They could really use help in the secondary. That's where they need help in the and picking up a running back on day two. That's where this team needs help. That's where the roster deficiencies are. I think the trenches, when you've got Tunsil and Howard, if you can find a good guard or just develop some cohesion among your interior offensive line, you know, maybe it could be good. I don't know, because Justin Brett, he missed some games with that knee injury last year, and then I don't know that Jimmy Morrissey is going to beat him for the number one spot starting center. So The interior offense, you know, what if they took Kenyon Green at 13? Is that too high from Texas A&M?
I think that's way too high. Let me look at
We need a meme on that, actually. Of if it's how high would that be, or that's not high, and then the next frame is like someone with, you know, red eyes and everything.
You're a Kenyon Green guy. You've talked about him a few times. I am really not sure he's going in the top 15, though.
I think that 13 would be too high for a guard. I mean, that would have to be.
Zion Johnson from Boston College. He is a stud. He lit up everybody at the Senior Bowl. If you want to take a guard at 13 and you want to talk about someone who's rising on draft boards, I think you could take Zion at 13, or that's when you could look to trade back if there's someone at the back of the first round that needs a quarterback, which I'm looking at it. There's really not. If New England wanted to come up from 21 and take a wide receiver, maybe you go back to 21 and you take Zion Johnson there. Or just take Tyler Linderbaum. And I know we like Britt at center a little bit. I don't love him, but Linderbaum's he's considered a sure thing.
Well, with the thing with Britt at center is it's really just one of those it's one of those like almost progress stopper type things, is because they did kind of make a commitment to Britt. Now, you know, can you really spend a first round pick and take a center? It's that's really what it is. And Britt, I don't know. He used to have position flex earlier in his career because he did kind of play some guard, but that's just the only problem. It's not that Britt's better than anybody out there. It's that they've committed to Britt, so now they're just kind of stuck with him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes – he's also just good enough to keep – to, like, make you think about moving on. So, no, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, so but the interior offensive line, they could definitely use some more help. But here's the thing about the Deshaun Watson trade, though, is I feel like even if the Davis Mills commitment doesn't work out, which, by the way, on the official communications with the NFL wires today, right before the Watson trade, my boss, he said, why doesn't Atlanta or why doesn't Houston, in making a deal with Atlanta, want Matt Ryan? I'm like, well, because he's old and his contract's too big. And so then I said, plus Davis Mills is the future at quarterback. And then another wire editor came in and said, Davis Mills is the future is the saddest thing I've read today.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. It is a bit of a reach, at least with what we've seen so far.
But he is the future. I think he's 2022, definitely. Yes. But this is what the first round picks do for you, is they allow you to now get in the sweepstakes, because now you got two first round picks, and then if you do something else, throw in one of yours, now you can move up into the top 10, top five, when a franchise quarterback heavy class comes out, whether in 23 or in 24, now you're in the discussion for it. Whereas before, I mean, Houston, they just had to watch Trey Lance and Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones and Zach Wilson and Justin Fields go, because they couldn't get the Watson deal done in time. Now they'll be in the conversation if that's the direction addressing quarterback goes.
Yeah, and what I really like about what they've done with the free agent room or the free agent acquisitions at quarterback is there's nobody very talented. It's Kyle Allen, Jeff Driskel, and Davis Mills. So Davis Mills is going to be the uncontested starter entering the year. He's the only guy who's, I guess Driskel's familiar with the system, but I mean, Lord, they moved him to tight end. They clearly have no faith in him as a quarterback. If Davis Mills does not work out, exactly like you said, they're in the conversation for a quarterback. And looking at the talent that we have, I know people might not want to hear this. We're probably looking at a top 3 to 5 pick. I would say top 2 if Davis Mills really bottoms out. But if he's good, we're going to play our way out of a quarterback. So it's a bit of a sink or swim scenario, because if he isn't good, there's no one on the roster talented enough to save us from his shortcomings.
Yeah, I think, and it's way too early to tell, and really you got to get through the draft. You got to get through the training camp injuries to the rest of the division and everything, and your first, you know, 4 or 5 games to really get a feel for what the season's going to be like. But I think definitely they are watching all the tape on Davis Mills, and all of the magic he had in the final 5 games is going to be snuffed out at the beginning of the year, and he's really going to be challenged. Or they may just say, hey, you know, let's let Davis Mills beat us, see what happens. And then by October and November, when they have all the film, then they're just going to shut him down at that point. So again, it's just that's getting way too far ahead of what's going on. But in terms of Mills is the answer long term, I don't know. He's the answer for 2022. And, you know, if Houston ends up with a top five pick, I don't know that they'll be that bad. I think they'll be top 10 pick bad.
If he's bad or if he's good?
I jumped and was talking about the team. I think the team will be top 10 pick.
I think it's about how Davis Mills play. If Davis Mills is bad, Mark, we're not finishing outside the bottom five. There's not enough talent on this team. Lovie Smith's defense is not going to force as many turnovers as they did last year. I mean, we'll see what they do to the offensive line, but I still question their ability to generate.
I don't think Davis Mills is going to be that bad. I don't think he's going to be so bad he loses his job, which is what it sounds like you're saying, because I would see if for them to get top five and Davis Mills is bad, that means Davis Mills was so bad he lost his job, right?
I mean, or he, if he gets hurt. Yeah, but you're probably
okay,
right.
For that's him. Fair. Or he misses time. Okay.
And I think, I mean, one of your greatest abilities is your availability. But I don't know. I can't think about next year's draft. We've put a lot of time into this upcoming draft, so let's knock that one out. And then you and I are going to be talking a lot about C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young this summer, I think. It's inevitably going to be part of the Davis Mills discussion.
Right. They're going to be the Texans' shadow starting quarterbacks. And that's basically who Mills is going to be playing again. And that's one of the things when you have David Shaw, the Stanford coach, saying, well, if Mills came out this year, he would be the best in the 2022 class. And, okay, he gets that benefit of the doubt. And we'll see, won't we? Because then you'll have Malik Willis and Carson Wentz. I'm sorry, Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett. And, we'll see at that point.
You would think Carson Strong is a quarterback in this class from Nevada. I think that's who you were thinking of.
No, it wasn't. It was actually Carson Wentz, because I was thinking of the Washington quarterback. Because I've got in my mind Willis is in Carolina already, and then Wentz is in Washington.
All right, Mark, I want to ask you an interesting question about that trade that we did make today. Do you think Nick Caserio survives to make all these picks that he traded for? Will Nick Caserio be making the first-round pick, turning the card in April of 2024?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that, yes, because now he's got all the pieces, and I think with what he did with having no pieces in 2021 – I think that I believe in his ability with personnel moves. It's the coach. It's the hiring of coaching that seems to be an issue.
Yeah, I'm not. We'll see. I'm feeling pessimistic today, so I'm not going to talk about Lovie Smith. But on to the draft, Mark. On to the draft.
Right, and that's what I'm saying is, look at what Nick did in 2021 was he used all of their available picks to create packages to get guys out. I mean, Roy Lopez in the sixth round, that was somebody that they targeted. He's a bona fide starter. When you look at Nico Collins, doesn't Nico Collins provide some optimism with the receiving core?
Yeah, I think Nico Collins could be a very good number two wideout in this league.
There's really two picks that I just don't know about. There's two picks that long-term, it's still up in the air as to how they'll perform. That's Garrett Wallow and Davis Mills. Those are the two guys from that class. I think everybody else is on track to be to at least be a starter and you know take the top spot on the depth chart on their rookie contract.
And I almost feel bad because Davis Mills showed as much, if not more, than some of the peers in his class. It's just the quarterback position really demands excellence, and that's why Cleveland gave out $230 million guaranteed today, because if you have the quarterback right, everything else falls into place. And until you have the quarterback right, things probably aren't going to work out for you. So it's tough because we don't need Davis Mills to be a top 20 quarterback. We really need him to show that he's a high-end starter that can be the franchise, or else we're going to be incentivized to move on, because that's one of the first things you want to find in a rebuild.
Right, and that's what I'm saying is I think Houston has the packages coming out of the Watson trade to find the next franchise quarterback, whether that's Davis Mills or if it's someone else, or, you know, like you said, Bryce Young, or if it's whoever comes out in 24. They're in a position now where they can actually address that, and they get one, two, three chances, really two chances, because I'm counting Davis Mills as a chance. But they get two chances to do that. There's some teams that only get one chance every, you know, 6 years to do it. And Houston's going to get three chances in a row to do it. So that's, to me, the optimism.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of opportunity with this trade, and that's what we're going to have to hinge on.
Also, the cap space, because let's say that Davis Mills doesn't exactly pan out or whatever, then you're not going to have your cap space gobbled up by a franchise quarterback. So you'll still have that particular cap space, and then you could go find a guy. Look, here's, if they find someone, and this is, to me, the biggest problem, the biggest failing of the Deshaun Watson era, was they had him on a rookie contract, and they just let that money go to waste, you know? They should have been all in.
Yeah, they failed to build around Watson systemically. They traded away players that they should have been extending. I mean, it's so hard when you watch what the Chargers are doing right now with Justin Herbert. They're trading for Khalil Mack. They're signing J.C. Jackson to a huge deal. And we never invested in Watson like that on the rookie contract. And yeah, we have an opportunity to start over and find that guy. God, Watson, what a way to end it. It's so nuanced. I can't – part of me is mad at him, but when we talk about how it went down – I understand the frustrations. I never thought it would come to us doing this podcast today.
Yeah, I didn't think that Watson would ever leave Houston. I thought that he was going to take over J.J. Watt as the face of the franchise, and maybe he'd old himself to a new team like Russell Wilson did, but I never thought that Houston would miss out on the prime years of Watson. If he still has, you know, some prime years ahead of him, because he did miss an entire season of football, you know? So yeah. We'll see how that particular, because that is a hurdle. Even if Watson was coming back and everything was great and he was, you know, having a lefties cheesesteak with Cal McNair, missing a year of football like that, we'll see how he's able to respond to that particular hurdle. But, you know, it's over with. Now Houston can move on. Watson can move on. And I think that Houston is in a really good spot for a rebuild. And they better do it quickly, though, because I think that this franchise – is it a place that they really haven't been? Sorry, they really haven't been since 2005, 2006, when they hired Kubiak. I mean, they've not gone through this stretch of losing in 15 years. No. And that's got to change to really turn the corner and get back to the Houston Texans writing the history of Houston pro football and just doing away with the Oilers.
Amen. And it starts with making Kyle Hamilton the face of the defense about a month and a half from now.
I agree. If they if that does not happen, whether I don't think Nick Casario is going to blow it, but you know, Detroit takes him or something. If that happens, then I'm not as optimistic, but I think if they get Hamilton, that's the playmaker. That's the takeaway maker. And that's your identity. It's the no fly zone.
Yeah. I mean, there's an opportunity here if they get these picks right. And I'm not addressing a no Kyle Hamilton selection, but it's time for us both to dig into these prospects and get excited, because the future likely lies with guys who are not on the roster right now.
I agree. And we also need to wrap up the podcast because some of our listeners may be pulling into their workplace right now, or they've already arrived and they've been sitting in the parking lot the last 10 minutes and their coworkers are watching. So we got to wrap it up for their sake.
All right.
Mark, all right. Where can they follow you on Twitter, John?
Oh, I beat you to it this time. They can find me on Twitter at TexansDoc. Give me a follow. Read my latest piece, Legendary. Kind of broke down the Watson thing. Mark, where can they follow you?
At The Real Mark Lane on Twitter, and you can follow The Texans Wire on Twitter at The Texans Wire. You've been listening to the Texans Talk Podcast. You can find us on Apple, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
All right, everybody. Have a great morning.